Welcome, everyone, and a happy nerdy new year. This almost feels like deja vu for myself and Collector J. Collector J in the house, and joining us this week, Professor Barry is in the house as well.
Morning. Yay! Hey.
Professor Barry's here. Just to give you guys a little quick overview of what the heck happened. We were having some technical issues last week. We're always trying to improve and upgrade here at NerdWatch headquarters and do a little
on the cheap,
you know what I mean? Oh, by the way, welcome to the NerdWatch nerds and lady nerds. Sorry about that. I hope you guys had a wonderful new year. New years mean new possibilities. And, of course, with New Year's also comes new movies, new games, terrible movies, and terrible games. It's just this vicious cycle, and we got a lot of stuff to get through, so let's get to it. Anyway, last week, like I said, we were trying to upgrade here at the NerdWatch. Technical issues ensued, and we couldn't get the podcast out. It was myself, Collector Jay, and Amber.
It's because Professor Barry wasn't here.
I think it was trying to tell us that Professor Barry wasn't here. Yeah.
So you can't not show up. Again.
I have to say that I do like his excuses. Oh, I forgot. That was.
but we only do it
every Wednesday.
I think it was his dad's birthday.
It was my father's birthday.
All right.
It's not like he was sitting at home in bed.
All right. So the guilt. I have to assuage his guilt from my guilt for saying that it was just he forgot. It was his dad's birthday. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, we'll go with that story.
We'll go with that story. That's a better story. All right. So you're back, Professor Barry. Amber's out of the NerdWatch headquarters. She is suffering from the flu. She said that hopefully she'll be back next week, so we hope that she gets better.
Get better soon, Amber.
Absolutely. How's everybody's week, or actually these last 2 weeks been of the first month of January? How's everybody been?
So far, so good.
Collector J?
I'm still alive.
Still alive? Good. Really quick, let's get this out of the way as well. Along with New Year's also comes New Year's resolutions. Is anybody being resolute about something?
Well, I'm a cynic. I always make a resolution that I could accomplish in a day.
Yeah. Wow.
I always make one that I can not accomplish in a day and get that out of the way.
I'm very much a cynic as well. The older I get, the more cynical I become. I don't know if you've noticed, but yes,
I can get more cynical.
I can't exactly. My resolution is to be more cynical. So,
how's that working out for you?
It's working out great. Anyway, and you'll know why later on in the show as well. We're in the award season. Okay, so we've got we're in the award season for movies. We've got movies to talk about, TV shows. We've got games to talk about, release dates, all that stuff coming up. So let's just get right to it. Movie season. We are in the season of awards. We're in the season of films that get recognized for their achievement in filmmaking. We already had the Golden Globes on Sunday, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, this past Sunday. And there has been a plethora of films that have come out that need to be spoken of. One that has some Oscar buzz, but that comes out on Friday, which is American Sniper. But there's been a ton of others that have already come out in December that have already got some Oscar buzz that you have seen. So let's rapid fire these suckers. What is on your list that you have seen as of late? Because you have watched quite a bit, Professor Barry.
It's been ridiculous, and some of it I regret. Let me talk about the one I hated the most, which is Annie.
Annie.
And don't get me wrong. I go to every film optimistic. I never go to a movie thinking I'm going to hate this. I want to tear this movie apart. I want every movie to be great because I've been surprised before by movies that I thought were going to be bad. Annie was bad in ways that really surprised me. Annie was directed by the guy who gave us Friends with Benefits, Woke Luck, who does not know how to direct a musical. The soundtrack was produced by Jay-Z and Will Smith, who are also the producers of the film. The soundtrack is horrible. It sounds like every song has been auto-tuned to death. They all sound like Britney Spears songs.
Right.
The musical numbers are clumsy and clunky. It's not just that the film's update doesn't work. It doesn't work trying to take this story you know, that really fit and worked for its period. And now we're trying to update it to 2014, where mm-hmm. Andy is trying to go viral. And it's all about materialism and how materialism can set you free. There's so many things about this film that are not only offensive but bizarre. The casting of Cameron Diaz as Miss Hannigan is disastrous. It's a bizarre casting choice, and it's a terrible performance. And I like Cameron Diaz, but I was really embarrassed for her. I was embarrassed for Jamie Foxx, Rose Byrne, Bobby Cannavale. Like, everybody's wasted. And Quvenzhanine Wallace, the star of Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Yes.
She was so natural and very, very just unforced in her performance in that movie. Annie, she's giving a sitcom performance. You know, it's really like you can see her pausing for the laugh line. She's cute and smile at the camera. It's just, it's one of those annoying kid performances. Like, where is this natural, you know, very, very present, unself-aware actress? She's gone. She's been scrub free.
Mm-hmm.
So Annie's a stinker.
So what you're saying is that for those that want to see it, they should definitely try and find the copy that was leaked by the North Koreans. Is that what you're saying?
I think the North Koreans may have done us a service in leaking it.
Oh, fantastic.
saving some people. Though people still win. It's not doing too bad.
I tell you what, it is. You're absolutely right. It seems like that during the holiday season, it seemed like there were a lot of people going to Annie. So the numbers were showing it. The people showing up to the theater with the kids were showing it. But then again, if we're honest, there wasn't very many kids movies this time around. You know, so I guess that maybe that's what fueled some of that some of that eagerness to go see a kids movie, because there wasn't very many, ironically, kids movies during the holiday season.
Yeah.
So I think the only other one was Penguins, don't you think?
Penguins and Night at the Museum.
Night at the Museum, that's right. And I heard that's horrendous.
Horrible.
Well, yeah. Big Hero 6 was still playing, too.
That's true.
I saw that.
That's been out since, what, November now? It's been out for a while.
Yeah. I went and saw Big Hero 6 and Penguins over there.
I haven't seen Penguins. I mean, how? I know Amber was not a fan. I mean, what'd you think of Penguins?
It was all right. I mean, it was a kids' movie. Kids enjoyed it. So. Mm-hmm. Then it was good. I wouldn't go see it on my own.
Your kids liked it. They sat with you. They were quiet. You're like, oh,
exactly. If the kids like it and they keep their mouth shut, that's golden.
Star.
That's a five star. That's a masterpiece. Anyway,
you can't psychoanalyze.
That's right.
A movie you can't. Based for 12-year-olds. Yeah. Well, 9-year-olds and 8-year-olds. It doesn't work.
Well, you can. Because a lot of writers think they're witty enough to put things in those movies that they think
for adults, and it does. Yeah. I mean, you have to get some of the jokes as an adult in Penguins, and they're, you know, it's just funny, but it's still a kids' movie.
All right,
so thanks for making these references though that are going to be dated in like 2 years.
They are. Oh, totally. Totally.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you show a computer device in a movie, you're dating yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Very true.
Or a cell phone.
Yeah. All right, so Annie. Terrible movie.
And it was one of the worst films of 2014.
All right. Star review.
Oh, God. Honestly, like, for me, you know, I've seen a lot of musicals. I'm someone who loves musicals. And I love the 1982 Annie, which John Huston directed. There was no need to remake that. That was fine for what it is. The new Annie, it's a terrible musical. It's poorly acted. It's horribly written. It's not seemingly even directed. The music is torturous. Honestly, no stars. Zero stars. It's a terrible movie.
Wow. Is that a first? Is that a Nerd Watch?
Oh, no,
first?
No. He's done that before. I know. Well,
on this show,
before.
Though.
Oh, on the show. It's a first.
No,
it's
yeah.
a first.
No doubt.
No stars. It doesn't deserve a star. I'm sorry.
Way to start out the show on a positive.
That is a positive note.
I'm starting from the bottom and working my way.
Oh, okay.
We started from the bottom, now we're here.
All right, so let's go ahead and talk about more of the movies you've seen this fall. Just to kind of allude to it, we are going to have, I think we should do it, should we do it next week or should we do it right around Oscar time, our best and worst of the year?
I wonder if it'll be too late, though.
Okay.
Then. Although that Oscars are in February this year.
They are in February. Yeah,
so
they're a month closer.
Not a bad idea. Plus, yeah. We have time to catch up on stuff,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So okay. why don't we plan for when is the Oscars, Collector Jay? I saw that you brought something up.
Isn't it right around like Valentine's Day?
Isn't it like the 15th
Watch
or the 16th?
Live on the 15th of January.
15th. I knew it. Okay. So why don't we do it the week before?
It's a good idea.
That would be for us February 11th or... something of that nature.
Yeah.
We'll do it on a Wednesday. Fantastic. We'll do it. It's perfect. And we'll get the best and worst of everybody at this table.
Yeah.
Top 5, top 10, whatever. Cool. Yeah. All right. So Why don't we go through more of the holiday movies you saw this Christmas season? What else did you see that you thought was
good? Well, again, kind of climbing up the ladder, another bad musical, Into the Woods.
Mm.
Into the Woods. I love Stephen Sondheim, love Sweeney Todd. This is not Sweeney Todd. This is not one of the great Sondheim musicals. Really, really clunky lyrically and musically. I've never been a fan of this show, honestly. Even when Bernadette Peters starred in Broadway, not a fan of it. The movie doesn't make it any better. My impression of the film, it's a lot of actors kind of shuffling on and off these really murkily lit sets. Nobody really has either the character or even the charisma to just kind of wrestle this thing. There's no center to these things, what I'm trying to say. Johnny Depp's scene where he's the wolf and he's basically coming on to Little Red Riding Hood, it's supposed to be kind of funny, creepy, instead of just kind of creepy. The CGI in the film,
I think anytime Johnny Depp comes on to anyone is kind of creepy.
Yeah, it is.
Case, he's coming on to Little Red Riding Hood. Yeah. I mean, it's very overt.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I've read a lot about this movie. I've heard it's not very good for a ton of people.
Yeah.
I even read the lyrics for the final song in the film.
Yeah,
I actually kind of find them disgusting. Mm. You know, and I mean, the content wise, I mean, especially with kids going to see this movie, about how there's no black and white, there's no good or evil kind of thing, and it's more or less you choose what is right and you choose what is wrong. There's no absolutes. So I thought that was kind of like, ooh, you know, I mean, for as cynical as I am, that's definitely not a cool message.
It's dark stuff. It is. And I don't know what headspace Sondheim was when he wrote it. I mean, it was one of the latter things he's done. I mean, this is one of the great, you know, musical Broadway lyricists, but it's not a good piece of material. Rob Marshall's direction, it just doesn't feel very sure-handed. I mean, nothing about it really feels like it's working. And obviously, this is the time of fairy tale movies were coming out, you know, what after Frozen and Enchanted and, you know, all the shows that are on TV. It feels like maybe they thought, okay, it's a fairy tale theme thing, we're going to go with it. And it's done pretty well, actually, but I don't know anybody who liked it, and I'm certainly one of those people. I think the movie's a wash.
Okay. Star rating.
1 star.
Wow. Wow. Man, and that one had a lot of hype.
Lots of hype. And open on Christmas Day, and it's doing quite well.
It is.
Amazingly.
It is. Yeah. All right, climbing up the ladder here. What more holiday movies did you see? Because we haven't seen you in a while.
That's true. Let's see. The film's directed by Angelina Jolie, Unbroken, which I think is something of a bust. I do. It's not a bad film, but it's unexceptional. It does not get inside the head of the main character.
And
Mr.
what is
Lamparini.
It about? Mr. Lamparini?
It's about Mr. Lamparini, who was an Olympic runner, and he later became a WW2 only a veteran but a prisoner of war.
POW.
And the film deals with his with his horrendous abuse as a POW. This movie never gets inside the head of its protagonist. The fact that it ends with an on-screen title that says that, you know, he went back and basically met and embraced all those who tortured him, except for one individual, and that he embraced Christianity later in life. Not only do I feel like there's an aspect of this story that is missing, I think this movie would have worked better as a documentary. Because I feel like there's too much.
I have a good feeling you're right, because I haven't finished it, but you know, I've
heard the book's magnificent.
Yeah, I heard the book is fantastic, and his Christian conversion, he became an evangelist basically.
Yeah.
So his conversion is quite, I would assume, tantamount to his story, because those things led him to Christ, and that's a very pivotal point in his life. And I understand that Hollywood doesn't really, you know, that's not their thing. So I guess, you know, if you leave that out, you're, in my opinion, for this guy especially, you're missing the boat, because there are a lot of Christians that know of is it Zamperini or Lamparini?
I think it is Zamperini.
Zamperini, right?
So I got my review.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Sorry. So, if for Christians that know him, when you walk into the movie, that's a big part of his life, his conversion. So it's a real disappointment to hear about that. Unbroken, is it something that we can wait to see?
Definitely. It has all the polish of something like Seabiscuit, where you go, the filmmaking is beautiful, the performances are fine, it's a very well-done movie, but we've seen better, stronger, more impactful POW dramas, so many others. Certainly, Jolie is not reinventing the wheel, though she's a very good director. Jack O'Connell, the lead actor, does a fine job. There's a lot of hype behind his role. It's a good movie. It's just, it's unessential, and it should be an unforgettable movie, and it just isn't.
Isn't. A bummer. That is a real shame. every time I see the preview, every time I saw the trailer for that film, it almost seemed like a Clint Eastwood directed film.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie worked with Clint Eastwood on The Changeling.
Yeah.
It seems like she's taken a lot of cues from him in that respect. Does it seem that way in the movie when you watch it?
I agree, because Eastwood has a very clean style of storytelling. He doesn't typically do a lot of stylishly showy things, and that is one of the best things about him. He's just a storyteller, and that comes from the guys he's worked with and his style. So I think, yeah, there's an aspect of that in her filmmaking in the sense it's a very classy film. It's a very well-made movie, but it doesn't have a lot of personality. And
right.
It should, considering this man's life, considering what he did overall. And yeah, I mean, we're missing, you know, the movie is alluding to his steps of faith. The movie is alluding to these things, but it should have been a part of it because it's who he is.
We're missing an aspect
of this story that's
absolutely
crucial.
All right, so star rating.
Unfortunately, 2 stars.
Wow, that's a bummer.
It's mediocre. It is.
Bummer. Collector J, are you interested in seeing Unbroken?
Not really.
No?
And from what I understand, that the movie doesn't get that far into his life of
right.
his conversion.
That's what I heard too.
So that's why it's not a big piece of the movie, is because it didn't get to that point in his life.
Does it? Is he correct about that assessment?
Oh, it doesn't. Not at all. I mean, so, we see all the stuff we've seen in other POW movies, you know, and respectfully, because that's an excellent, worthy topic, but I don't feel like this movie does anything we haven't seen done so many other times before.
Bummer. Bummer, bummer. All right. Moving up the charts for holiday movies, what else did you see?
The new Paul Thomas Anderson film, Inherent Vice, which has been getting a lot of mixed to kind of puzzled response.
Before you get into this,
yep.
One thing I want to add about Inherent Vice is
sure.
I only know about Paul Thomas Anderson. I don't know. I know it's based on a novel. It's been out for a while. I have heard that people are walking out of this movie.
Yeah.
What is the deal?
It's incredibly confusing from the first scene on. It doesn't help that a lot of the dialogue, not all of it, but a good deal of dialogue uttered by the lead character played by Joaquin Phoenix is a bit mumbled, and because he's stoned off his gourd.
Give us a little synopsis of what...
Is that his character, yeah, or is that just
it's
Joaquin?
The character. It's the character.
I'm sure it's Joaquin as well. You're right about that. Give us just a bit of where we're at with this story. What is
it's impossible. I couldn't do it. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix is based on the novel by Thomas Pynchon. Joaquin Phoenix plays this detective who's stoned off his gourd. It's 1970s San Francisco. The Charles Manson thing has just happened, so everybody's on edge.
Right, right, right.
And Joaquin's detective, Doc Sportello, is investigating a disappearance of somebody he used to be in love with. And it kind of opens a can of worms of all of this corruption around him. His best friend and also his worst enemy is a cop who goes by the name of Bigfoot, played by Josh Brolin. Brolin's character is not only a cop, but he's trying to break out as an actor. So you kind of see these goofy movies and commercials that he's in. Martin Short is in the film, and a wonderful and nasty, nasty character turn. It's wonderful. He's not playing it for laughs. He plays a really sleazy guy, and he's great in it. Reese Witherspoon is in it. She plays Sportello's on-again, off-again girlfriend. Amazing cast. Rich in atmosphere. It has a lot of the same kind of laid-back stoner humor as The Big Lebowski. In fact, that's probably the closest comparison in terms of tone.
But The Big Lebowski was a movie that you could watch, because I like The Big Lebowski, and I'm definitely not a stoner.
Yeah,
neither am I. That's a very funny movie.
Yeah.
It's very funny, and it's witty, and for me, it works.
Inherent Vice has those qualities, too, but the thing is, it's been written in a way that suggests Raymond Chandler, or like the ones we like Chinatown and The Two Jays.
Right.
The plotting is so thick and convoluted and purposely confusing, because the main character played by Joaquin Phoenix, he's confused, he's stoned, even he doesn't know what's going on, so we're kind of in the same boat as he is.
So you have to watch it stoned? Maybe that'll help?
No, but I'll be honest, I've seen the film twice, I'm still not sure who everybody is. The movie is narrated.
Wow.
Here's the thing, honestly, the movie has been narrated by this young character. She's it's a very small supporting role, but her character is kind of like, she narrates the movie even though she's not even present for much of the story. So you're going like, how is she involved in this? Her character is kind of symbolizing the character of California at this point in time. So she's kind of like speaking like a mouthpiece of the mindset of the flower power burnout generation of California.
Sure.
So anyway, that's the kind of movie we're dealing with. It's
weird.
It's not an easy sit. It's challenging, like a lot of Anderson movies. It is funny. There's a lot of really funny scenes, a lot of great scenes, great performances, but it's not an easy sit at all. So I understand the frustration.
Well, the Raymond Chandler, that goes all the way back to, if I'm not mistaken, that goes all the way back to The Maltese Falcon.
Right.
So,
yep.
I mean, thick thick, convoluted stories are definitely his forte.
Right.
So, I mean, is it something I should see? Is it too psychedelic? What's the deal?
It's not that psychedelic. Actually, considering the director, who's a very flamboyant director in some cases, this is not one of his most overly stylized movies. If anything, I do recommend seeing it. I really do. I think it's a wonderful film. I do. I like the film. I really like it. But I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's not an easy sit.
Okay. So what are you giving it?
I'd give it 3 stars.
3 stars.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
all
it's
right.
a good movie.
Well, we haven't seen P.T. in a while. P.T. Anderson.
Yeah, so. Not since The Master, which not I thought was the best film of its year. Did you like The Master? Or?
I thought The Master was okay.
Okay.
I wasn't the biggest fan. I did think that the performances in it were quite amazing.
Yeah.
So for that in and of itself, I would give it 3.5 stars for me because I thought it was that good.
Okay.
I didn't like the story as much. I thought that Philip Seymour Hoffman was amazing in the role that he was put in. So yeah, we haven't seen him for a while. So I mean, since The Master, like you said. So I guess he likes working with Joaquin Phoenix.
Apparently.
So
glad somebody does.
Yeah, I'm glad somebody does too. their eccentricity.
Other than Joaquin Phoenix.
That's right. Joaquin Phoenix likes to, work with Joaquin Phoenix. So yeah. You're absolutely right. All right. What else came out during this Christmas season that you saw that you liked?
A couple more. One that I saw on Christmas Day at the fine Maui Mall Megaplex Theater, by the way.
Oh, fantastic.
Fine theater. Very
the one
fine
here
theater.
In Maui. It's yes. great
excellent theater.
Theater.
Hence the name Maui Mall
yeah.
Theater.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Well, we used to have a Maui Theater, which
we
was
did.
One screen, fine theater, but that went away in 96, so this is the next best thing. Maui Mall Megaplex Theater, they're still showing it, Tim Burton's Big Eyes, which I think is a fine film.
It's based on the artist. Keen.
Yes. Yeah, and I got to say, this film has tanked. It's really suffered at the box office. And let's face it, this is a terrible time for a film like this. It's mm-hmm. an eccentric film about an artist. It's not really a comedy. It's more of a drama. Burton is really laid back here. It's a very character-driven film. It's
Tim Burton, you mean?
Yes, Tim Burton. Yes. So, yeah, it's written by Scott Alexander and Larry Karaszewski, who also wrote his Ed Wood, which is one of my favorite films.
Oh, I love Ed Wood.
And this is a similar film in that it's very laid back in terms of its style and in terms of its presentation, although it's visually beautiful at times. A good portion of the story takes place on Oahu.
It
and
does.
Dan Cook is in the movie playing a newscaster, of all things.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
A lot of her paintings, her famous paintings, were of island girls. That's a thing. That's
yeah.
Cool.
And I had a high school teacher who actually owned a few Keens, and she was very adamant to say, like, she did this, not her husband, she did this. Like, okay.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Amy Adams and Christoph Waltz are so good in this movie. And it's interesting because these are two very different actors giving two very different performances. She's very internalized. It's very much... it's very, very intuitive sort of performance, and she's brilliant in it. And Christoph Waltz is going really over the top, which is perfect. His character is meant to be obnoxious and one of these guys who kind of overestimates his appeal with people. Waltz is fantastic in the movie. The two of them are great together. It's a fine film, but I mean, the story is painful. It's a tough movie about having your ownership to your art taken from you,
right?
And fighting for that ownership. So it's not it ends up being a feel good movie, but it's a film I found very distressing watching it, watching what this lady went through.
So what you're saying is not exactly a Christmas fare,
exactly, which is probably one of the reasons that it's been doing terribly. But I hope it picks up with the recent Golden Globe for Amy Adams Best Actress, which was a real out of left field award, and I'm glad because she's terrific in the film, and I hope it makes people aware the film is out there and they go see it.
All right, so. Star rating on this bad boy.
Oh, three stars, definitely.
3 stars. All right. I'm interested in seeing Big Eyes because I know about Keen. I know the connection to Hawaii and things of that nature. It was a big deal here in the islands for a while. So everybody wanted one. I remember that. So I remember the hype around those pictures because I used to see them a lot. You know, you never really think about
it. Yeah, growing up in Oahu, of course.
Growing up in Oahu. Yeah. They're everywhere. So. Yeah. All right. Anything else? Because we heard that you saw The Hobbit already. We talked about your review of that. Anything else that you saw? This Christmas season?
Well, let's see. When is this going up? There's a movie I could talk about, but I'm embargoed too.
Okay, it's going to go up today or tomorrow.
Okay, I'll wait till next
You'll
week.
You'll wait till next week?
Yeah, I'll wait to talk
okay.
about
I hate to see movies that you get embargoed on.
Well,
why aren't you sharing?
Isn't that, I know, it sucks, right?
That?
It sucks. Like, You know, he gets movies. Do I have to go to college to be a writer? I don't know. Well, you know, you got to write a lot. How about sharing with the rest of us? How about bringing the DVD or the Blu-ray over so we could watch it? That'd be great.
It's not always that simple.
I know it's not.
Sometimes it's a link. Sometimes it's a FedEx thing.
I'm gonna find out his bedroom window. And just watch it.
All right, ooh. So can you you can't talk about the review of the film. Can you say what the film is?
I'd love to talk about American Sniper.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right, so you're embargoed until
Thursday.
Until Thursday. Okay, yeah. Fantastic. Yeah.
But I have others I could talk about for the sake of the show.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Okay, what came out already that you saw?
Selma.
That was the one I was trying to allude to because that's the last big one.
Okay. Which one do you?
Selma.
Okay,
that's the last big one for the Christmas season, pretty much.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you think? I mean, we got it in January, but of course it was a Christmas film.
Yeah.
What was your take on Selma? The story of Selma, Alabama, of course, and Martin Luther King.
Yeah, I like the film a lot. It's not as airtight as everybody makes it out to be. Let me just get to what doesn't work. I like Oprah Winfrey. I have nothing against personally Oprah Winfrey, but
I do. But okay,
she's a distraction in this movie. She has a supporting role in the movie. It, you know,
when is she not though? Seriously,
it's a problem here because she is the biggest mega movie star in this film. The most of the movie, it's full of character actors or you know big actors in supporting roles. Oprah, not only does she give herself this pretty sizable supporting role. She has a scene in the movie where she's the protester who slaps the white cop. Then the camera follows her down in slow motion as she's pulled down to the ground. It's like her big Oscar moment. It's too much. And she also produced the film. She would have done this movie a real benefit just producing it and then stepping away. But trying once again to remind us that she's an Oscar-nominated actress, it comes across as a bit much. Thankfully, it's a supporting role. It's a small supporting role. She doesn't ruin the movie. But there are moments where I found her to be terribly distracting.
Mm. Like in The Beloved.
Beloved.
Color Purple.
Butler, yeah.
Butler.
Yeah.
Which I never want to watch ever. But
The Game of Life.
Yeah, right. I tell you what, I think that Selma, from what I understand, is actually a fairly decent film. I mean, as far as the content and the movie itself is actually very well acted, very well told. Is that true?
I agree. I think it's a great film. David Oyelowo, who plays Dr. King, he taps into something that it's hard to even come up with. Even writing my review, I had a hard time even coming up with a word to describe just how magnificent he is. It's an amazing performance. It's a beautifully nuanced performance. I got to say really quickly, I thought this movie was going to avoid because it's not politically correct, but the movie actually deals with it head on. Dr. King was unfaithful to his wife. They deal with his infidelities, which I think is ballsy because I figured this is the first major movie about Dr. King. There's no way they're going to mention that. No, they deal with it in a very tactful and smart way.
I have to tell you, I have got, especially with someone as sizable as Dr. King is, and the fact that he is a reverend, and the fact that he proclaims himself to be a Christian. One of the great things about Christians or when you are of the faith, not to bring up the faith again, but one of the biggest things to bring up is this is where I came from. You know, or well, this is what I've done. I am not perfect. You know, this is why I need I need God in my life. I'm not perfect. I need to stay on the straight and narrow. So one of the fascinating things about Christian characters or faith characters is they need somebody because they aren't perfect and they're willing to admit the fact that they need God in their life. And I think I don't think that's a hindrance. I the way you describe it makes it like, even though you say it's ballsy, you know, we have a tendency to put Dr. King in God status,
right?
Which he isn't. He delivered a fantastic message, which I think a lot of people still forget, even in the black community, about it being all about not the color of the skin, but the content of your character. But it seems like now all it is about the color of your skin.
Right.
So I am very excited to see it. I have heard something interesting. I heard that it deals with LBJ,
yeah.
Lyndon Baines Johnson, the president at the time. He is, by all standards in history as of now, the hero of the civil rights movement. I disagree with that completely because he's the same guy that 20 times before he came along denied civil rights of black people. And I think that I think that if they have, if they had, I don't know, that's why I'm asking you, because you've seen it. If they attack that, or if they bring that up, I think that's pretty brave, because he is the hero of the civil rights movement. The guy who actually put that on the table was Dwight Eisenhower, and the guy that the dissenting vote that caused it to fall before Lyndon Baines Johnson came along was Senator LBJ. Lyndon Baines Johnson. So do they attack any of that, or do they?
No, no. It's interesting how they do this, because this has gotten so much controversy in terms of the movie not being historically accurate. What's interesting what they do here is that they have scenes with LBJ, with J. Edgar Hoover, and with George Wallace.
J. Edgar Hoover, right.
And instead of painting these guys as one-note villains, which you kind of expect them to for whatever reason, what the movie does instead is kind of show these guys that whatever they thought about Black people, whatever their own personal feelings, whether they had genuine bigotry or whether they were just products of their time, they were very aware that whatever they did or said was going to reflect on their legacy, how they were going to be forever stamped. Their legacy was forever going to be attached to the civil rights movement.
Correct.
So you basically see them as very savvy and canny politicians in a way that I thought was really interesting, kind of refreshingly devoid of commentary, because so many of these movies...
That's good.
You know, because I mean, for Pete's sake, like, you know, to give an example, though I like the film a lot, you know, Oliver Stone's Nixon... Nothing fair or balanced about that movie at all.
Oh, it was not.
And
I
love that movie, but I mean, it is completely commentating. I mean, it's obviously a movie made by a guy in 1995 looking back on Nixon. With Selma, I feel like the movie is trying to say, like, look, it's not about good guys, bad guys. It's about, you know, people who are a little bit of both making decisions that, regardless of how they felt, it was not easy. And I like that. I do too.
And I think you're right. And I think you're completely right, because if there's one thing that Lyndon Baines Johnson was a very slick politician.
And he was not known to be sensitive in terms of how he dealt with anybody.
No, he wasn't. Yeah, he was not at all. So yeah. I completely agree with you. Is this something that I should see because of the magnitude of the story in the theater, or is this something I can wait for?
I'd actually recommend seeing in the theater. Okay. I was really emotionally overwhelmed by this movie many, many times. There are a number of scenes, which I won't describe, but there's a number of scenes in the movie that just kind of destroyed me in a really great way. It's a great film. It is.
Yeah.
It's a little too long, though.
Where would you give it? What would you give it?
Well, you know, 5 being the tippity top and 0 being Annie, I would give this 4 stars.
Fantastic. 4 stars.
Yep.
Wow. All right. So Selma was the big one of the year, or the last big one that you saw for the year?
I think so. Good. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, and I've seen all these new films, you know, some, you know, Taken 3 and Black 2.
Well, that's, of course, in January. We'll talk about those next week. We're trying to get getting through the holiday season stuff.
Yep.
Now, you saw Taken 3. Your review is up on MollyWatch.com.
Yep.
It's on Facebook as well. Mm-hmm. Woman in Black 2. Angel of Death. Was this pointless, just curiously?
Yes.
Good.
I'll just leave it at that.
Good.
Yeah.
Pointless. That's what I thought it would be, too. All right. So, with that in mind, there's a couple movies that I want to talk about. But one movie in particular all three of us can talk about, because we talked about it last week. But since you didn't hear last week's episode, Collector J and myself saw The Interview with Seth Rogen and Mr. Franco. Collector J... why don't you give your people's take, or the people's take, or your take of the show for the people?
I forgot already.
Did you enjoy it?
It hasn't stayed with you?
No, it's...
You gave it a 3-star review.
I enjoyed the movie.
Yes, because you wrote... I'm sorry.
I did write a review.
You did write a review?
So you
want to
know how I can't go read the review.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
What did you think?
It was good. I mean, I was definitely hoping for more of a feel on why it got so much... press, I guess you could say.
Hate, disdain.
Hate.
Yeah.
Disdain.
A world war was going to happen because of it.
Right? I think missiles were ready to be launched.
Yes.
I still couldn't figure that out because if you compare it to, you know, Team America.
Team America.
There's no way that you would even. I mean, we should have been destroyed with that movie.
Team America
Not
is
this one.
So much worse than.
Maybe
than
they didn't like him. Maybe they didn't like the fact that he was really into.
Katy Perry
songs. Maybe that's what it was. They likened their dictator to Katy Perry listening.
That's true.
It's probably what it was. On your high school student male jokes level, it was funny. It had its moments.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Rogen and James Franco went together, did a well job playing off each other. Separated, not so much, which was the second half of the movie.
Yeah, it was.
The guy who
played, I still feel is the strongest for me.
The second half?
The second half for me, yeah.
The guy who played Kim
Jong-un?
He did a really good job.
He did a great job.
Russell Parks, I think.
Yeah, Russell Parks.
He did a really good job of switching between listening to pop music and being...
Well, switching between being a
homicidal maniac.
A madman and someone that you could actually relate to.
Yeah, hang out with, you know, play some basketball. They don't get me because my dad beat me up or whatever.
Yeah, he did a good job. I mean, for a comedy, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he did a decent job.
And then the only thing I noted last week was I think James Franco kissed every single guy in the movie.
I think you're right. I think you might be right. So, he did.
But it was good if that's the kind of – if you like Austin Powers, I mean, that just raunchy type of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's a good movie.
Okay. What would you give it?
I gave it the three stars overall.
Oh, okay.
I think it was one or two on like critically acclaimed movie, to 4 stars with the comedy part.
Okay.
So average.
And so you broke, you really broke it out. Yeah.
And
cool.
If you're trying to see it for a piece of cinema,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to get anything.
Correct.
If you're trying to get some laughs, you'll get something.
I have to agree with the majority of Collector J's assessment.
Because you can't agree with all of it.
That's not me. I will say that the strongest parts of this film were the very beginning, with the interview with Eminem, which was, those of you that grew up listening Eminem's to gay. Eminem or in that thing, it was absolutely hilarious. The way they played it off was just completely funny. It was great. I thought that the climax of the film for me, the finale, was fun. It worked for me. I liked it.
Yep.
The stuff in the middle was the stuff that lagged and sagged, I thought, to be
Isn't
quite
that
honest.
Exactly what I said? He didn't disagree with me.
No, but here's the thing. Here's the thing is I didn't think James Franco was that good. I thought James Franco was too over the top.
Hmm.
I thought that Seth Rogen actually was good because what was nice about these two characters, instead of them being on the same page, they were of two different mindsets, which was really cool. Like, Seth Rogen's character was like, listen, man, we're in North Korea. This guy ain't a nice guy no matter what he's telling you. And, of course, Franco's character, Skylark, is basically becoming enamored with Kim Jong, with Un. So I thought that that worked really well together. Overall, I thought that the film was, I think it was a 2.5-3-star film. The comedy, the raunchy comedy stuff is getting old. And I don't mean because I'm getting old, but it's literally getting old because everybody does it in Hollywood now. There's nothing funny about it anymore. You know, I don't know. I don't find it funny. It's not witty. It's not.
And for me, the raunchy comedy, when they act out certain things,
yeah.
The raunchy humor in what they're doing, like having to hide a missile up your butt, right?
Right.
Some of the, when I said James Franco, it was when they were dialoguing back and forth,
right?
When they jumped off of what each other were saying,
right?
That's when I think the movie was best,
right?
As far as character acting, they were quick,
right?
Funny stuff like that, but yeah, the hiding phallic devices in places they shouldn't.
Yeah,
be,
it just becomes par for the course for a Seth Rogen film. So I have to say that it's not the worst movie, and it's definitely not their best movie. I like it better than This Is the End. I thought This Is the End stunk.
Oh wow,
I did not like
it. I was
a
fan of that one.
I have to go see it again. I guess I missed out on something, but I did not like that film. So Interview for me is about a 2.5-3-star movie for sure. So The Interview, I agree with Collector J on the fact that there was no need for this to escalate to what it became. It just made no sense. I mean, I can understand a little bit of it, but Team America is far more destructive as far as criticisms of North Korea and
such. That sounds like the better movie, too.
And it's a much better movie. It's much more witty. Even though it does have some raunchy humor in it, for sure, it is a much more witty movie because you're dealing with puppets, for crying out loud. And if you can make a 90-minute movie about puppets interesting and funny, that's an achievement.
It's funny. I read a story yesterday or the day before that there was during the Golden Globes.
Sure, yeah.
Someone did a little skit or a little piece who is Korean. What was it?
Oh, Margaret Cho.
Margaret Cho. And then she got a lot of criticism.
She got a lot of heat for that.
Calling
yeah.
her racist.
Yeah, she did.
And she's Korean, making fun of I thought as if you're in the same.
It's almost meta, right?
It's like
she's making
you're
fun
allowed.
Of an evil dictatorship. I mean, she's not an evil dictator, but it's not like Christians. And she's making fun of our enemy.
But she's also Korean, yeah. So it's not like she, you know. But everyone who's criticizing her is white. I mean, this movie, I think, has reached more into people being so afraid of whatever it is that they're afraid of.
Political correctness gone amok.
That's extreme. Yeah. And it's misguided political correctness.
And she came out and said, you know what, I'm not apologizing. I'm happy with what I did. It was funny, whatever.
I don't like Margaret Cho. I don't think she's funny. She's a flaming liberal and a feminist. I can't stand her. Good for her, though, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah. So
I think the fact that she
stood up. I think that was a compliment.
That was a backhanded compliment is what that was.
That was a double backhanded compliment.
anyway.
But yeah, I don't know why North Korea would get mad.
I don't know. I don't either. The interview was more or less
harmless. I want to know, I mean, the lyrics they opened up with that movie.
Oh, with the kids singing?
The kids singing. Those are like lyrics that I think that's very true.
You think so? I don't know.
Well, I just watched the documentary.
Really?
That had footage from people who snuck in cameras.
Oh, wow.
And the stuff that they do say, the indoctrination is pretty
hardcore. Oh, I know the indoctrination is hardcore. I thought that was a joke, though. I thought that was like an exaggeration
It might be a slight exaggeration, but I think that's pretty – I mean, ever since his dad – you know, America has always been the evil guy that needs
right.
to destroy.
It's always been the death to the West.
I think
thing.
That's still pretty accurate, that opening song. So
crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right. Are you interested in seeing this?
I'm dying to see it. I just haven't had the opportunity.
I'll give you my be careful with it. But I'll give you my YouTube login.
Oh wow.
That's how I bought it.
Oh.
Yeah, cool. All right. So with that in mind, Two. You said 3 stars. I say 2.5. So that averages out about 2 stars, 2.5 stars.
2.75 to be exact.
Yeah, 2.75. Very good. Your math is extraordinary.
This is the Nerd Watch.
All right. Two more movies on my list that I want to get to, and then we're going to get into some news.
Okay.
Two more movies. I saw two movies. One was a film that Collector Jay saw that I thought was extraordinary.
He saw it as well.
I think you did. I think you're right. And then the other one was for me the feel good movie of the year.
Uh-oh.
So let's get to this first one.
Good before bad?
No. They're both great.
Feel good and horror.
Right. So one's a horror movie, and that is The Babadook.
Oh, yeah.
The Babadook is extraordinary.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. I think it is one of the best horror films
to
come out, period.
Oh, you didn't see it last week. That's why.
I didn't. The Babadook was phenomenal. I am completely enamored with Jennifer Kent's direction of the film. She made an amazing movie. If you have not seen The Babadook, I think it's still available on video on demand. That's how I saw it.
Yeah.
It is amazing. I love the fact that she straddles the line between it being either real or psychological, because you don't know.
Yeah.
You never know in this film. All I can tell you is The Babadook is about a woman who has lost her husband and is raising her child alone, and the stresses, and the psychological issues that come with that, the loss of a husband, dealing with loss, dealing with regrets, dealing with these things internally, I thought was
an
amazing.
Over-imaginative kid,
right? And what could possibly be an over-imaginative kid? What could be that? All I can say is the less I talk about this movie, for me, the better, because this is a movie that I think everybody should see, because it's not about the violence. It's not about
there is no
the
violence.
There isn't.
In the movie.
It's not about the.
Oh, well, except when the one kid pushes another kid out the
treehouse. It's the horror of what can happen when you get into your own head.
Yeah.
And I thought that is one of the most, because it straddles the line for me between what is real and what isn't, and it is done so well. I think The Babadook, in my opinion, is probably one of the best horror movies I've seen in a long time. Collector Jay talked about it last week, so I wanted to see it, so I did. He loved it. I don't know if I liked it more than he did. And what did you think, Professor Barry?
I liked it too. I saw it. You know, I've been hearing about this movie all year. I finally saw it on Halloween, of all things. I got it on video on demand, and I watched it 2 times, just because not only is it a great film, it really is, And this is not a spoiler. This is just an interpretation. I don't think there is a Babadook. I think we're strictly seeing the mania, the sense of mind of
the mother. I agree.
When you're a kid, the monsters in the closet are real. The scary crap you imagine as a child is real. I think the child is simply having an experience with the mother that is so elevated that they're seeing this thing. They're hearing this
Absolutely.
Thing.
So everybody who is anybody should go out and see the Babadook.
And I thought the scene with the book, when it came back, and it had the additional stuff,
yes.
And it lined out what was going to happen. And as soon as, because everything that was lined out in that story happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I swore once she got past that one phase that ended, she acted out in the book, that she was going to carry it all the way through.
Well, I tell you what.
I swear she was.
I'm afraid to tell anybody anything else. I'm giving it 4.5 stars because I thought it was that doggone good for me. I haven't seen a scary movie like that in a long time where it didn't go for the cheap scares. It went for something more visceral. And I loved it. Absolutely loved it. So watch The Babadook. It is amazing. Secondly, I watched, for me, what is the feel-good movie of the year. I think everybody should watch it. I saw Whiplash. Not only did I see Whiplash, I watched it twice in the same day. That's how good it was for me.
I did see it. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. What was that?
No, I saw a different movie. That's a feel-good movie.
Okay, good. We'll talk about that in a minute. I have to tell you that Whiplash, for me, was probably one of the best pictures of last year. Whiplash is an amazing performance by J.K. Simmons.
Amazing, yes.
He is amazing. He is phenomenal. Miles Teller is great. The story moves at a brisk pace. It's amazing. You sit there and you watch and you're like, it's already over? And it was over. It's a story of a professor, or I should say a music teacher, and the students. And he's teaching at a college level, I'm assuming, or at an elevated level.
Yeah,
it's a music conservatory.
Yes.
And it deals with a lot of issues concerning teachers and students. And not even just that, but more of what is the line, where's the line when it comes to these guys? When does a push become a shove?
Yes.
I have to tell you something, and I'm not giving anything away by saying this. I think J.K. Simmons should get an Oscar nomination for his performance. But I will say this. In my opinion, I think we need more guys like Terrence Fletcher. I think we need guys not to that extreme, but guys who are willing to push. Because that's what's probably and this is more of a commentary about where we are now as a society. This is the things that we've lost. Our kids don't have people pushing them, let alone pushing them over a cliff to tell them, you can do this. Okay? And I mean, and along with the verbal abuse that goes along with it, you know, our kids become further wusses the longer they go. And, you know, in some respects, I think that there should be more teachers. More teachers that are willing to push, not young kids, of course. I'm talking about these. When I say kids, I'm talking 19, 20, 22-year-old kids that are willing to push these kids to their potential, regardless of and I thought it was also commentary on emotional distress and emotional abuse because I personally, it's one of those issues. As a guy, I don't get that. As a woman, I can't speak on that. But as a guy, for me, there's no such thing for me as a man. You know, I got to take what's given to me. You know, they call me names, call me whatever you want to do. I like the motivation of somebody telling me I can't do it. And Terrence Fletcher, his character in the film, J.K. Simmons, pushes and he pushes and he pushes and he pushes you. But in those things, you also see a human being in those moments in Whiplash that you know that there's something underneath. And you know this guy, even though there may be something completely wrong with this guy, there is something there. And that ending was perfect. Because I got to tell you, I actually teared up. And I'm not giving anything away. The moment that Terrence Fletcher pulls back up the symbol that fell was an amazing moment for me. And it just was just phenomenal. And it really moved me because you could see it in the performances, in J.K. Simmons' performance, that his character almost was more elated, not in just himself, but he found something that he's wanted to find for a long time. And I really thought Whiplash was an amazing, electrifying movie. Everybody who is anybody has to see this film. What did you think, Professor Barry?
Well, I'll see you and raise you. I mean, I think J.K. Simmons' performance is the best by any actor all year. I thought he was terrifying,
yep.
And I couldn't keep my eyes off of him.
Nope.
And at the same time, I'm watching him, and I'm wondering, does he have an unguarded moment? Do we ever see this guy at a moment that is not completely, perfectly calculated? And I love the film for the qualities you're talking about, too. This is a great conversation piece about how much we push our kids. Because I saw the film. It's funny you call it the feel-good movie of the year. For me, it was such an intense experience. I loved the film, but I was grateful for when it was over because I was a wreck the whole time. For me, the movie, you know, and this is just a way of looking at it. I think the movie is about Stockholm Syndrome. I think it's about how far.
Ooh, interesting. The relationship, I never thought about that.
Well, you know, just how far, you know, you go to loving the torturer. Because on the one hand, yeah, this movie is about that question of when are you inspiring and pushing your kid to be the best, and when is it torture of some sort?
Well, you're a professor, so you would have a very interesting take on that. What do you think? Is there, especially not the young, you know, not the high school kids young kids, but where do you see? How do you see in your line of work? Where does Whiplash line up as far as being a template?
I've had those moments where I am challenging my students and I'm pushing them to challenge themselves and to move forward. I've also had those teachers that made my classmates cry. I had a poetry teacher who once told she told the girl sitting next to me that your poems are like you. They're kind of worthless and they have nothing to say. And this girl sitting next to me
sounds like a man after his own heart.
Wow.
Yeah, it was horrible.
I have to say that I did find myself chuckling in Whiplash more than once. So,
well, it's like, I mean, he comes across Fletcher, the character played by J.K. Simmons. At times he comes across like a drill sergeant. Other times he comes across like that guy who is just in this inexhaustible pursuit of excellence. But at the same time, there is something so calculated, even
and sinister almost.
Perhaps even sociopathic about him that I really wonder, like, where is the human being there? Because there's a key moment, I think, where Miles Teller's character, he's watching him down the hallway with the little girl. And
yes.
you think, oh, that's cool. That's who he really is. And they're like, well, was that, like, was he acting then too? Like, who is this guy?
I felt that same way when I watched the scene where he plays the CD from his former student.
Yes, yes.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. J.K. Simmons, by the way, if you don't know who J.K. Simmons is, he's the guy in the Farmers Insurance commercials. Okay?
I thought you were going to go to Spider-Man.
No. He's the guy in the Farmers Insurance commercials because you see them all the time. Yes, and he is also J. Jonah Jameson in the original Spider-Man trilogy. J.K. Simmons is amazing. The movies, for me, is amazing. For me, I would definitely give it 5 stars. I think everybody should see it. It is quite a cool piece of filmmaking. It's thrilling. It's actually thrilling. And it's about a guy learning. It's about a guy perfecting his craft in music. And I was in shock at how much I was glued to the television. Like I said, I watched it twice in the same day. I have never done that before, ever. Watched it twice, and I was like, this is amazing. So
I'm glad you got to catch it. Not enough people have seen this movie.
Whiplash is awesome. Anybody who is anybody should see it. I think my other half remarked, I watched it by myself the first time. I watched it with my other half the second time, and she said, well, there goes my dreams of playing drums. And that was the last thing she said. So
it's a good instant review.
I was like, yeah, you're right. I guess that's where you're from. And then actually and watching that movie makes me motivated to want to try it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's so it's just very interesting, two different reactions
yes.
to the show. So anyway, we've seen a lot of movies over this holiday season. We've been gone for 3 weeks for crying out loud. What is your movie, your feel-good movie of the year, by the way?
On Video On Demand. Mm-hmm. It's Del Toro's The Book of Life.
Oh,
that was actually a really good movie.
Yeah,
it was enjoyable.
Completely.
My kids My daughter, who's 16, wanted to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And my 3-year-old daughter has mm-hmm. watched it 3 times now.
Now,
it is actually a really well done movie, in my opinion.
Guillermo del Toro took the Spanish. A Spanish story?
Yes.
And he translated it to the screen. Now, is it... When I saw it, first of all, it bombed at the box office.
Yeah.
It totally bombed. When you watch it, is there a reason why it wasn't successful when you saw it? Do you understand why it was such a bomb at the theater?
I mean, it's not a big, flashy... It's a love story.
Right.
Is
it too different for most audiences?
I think
so.
I think, you know, I know you hate it, but Nightmare Before Christmas, it's that same style of...
Stop motion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I thought the stop motion was done really well. The Day of the Dead, the costumes or the characters that they created were really well done. They looked nice. The graphics were nice. I mean, it was a good movie. I think it just wasn't your superhero, action-packed, over-the-top, big-name actor type movies that does really well. But for Del Toro, I think I really enjoyed it. I think everyone should see it.
Well, the subject matter of The Day of the Dead was interesting for me. I thought that's why it tanked, because Day of the Dead is a very...
it's very specifically
cultural. It's very...
Yeah.
It's very, and it's also very...
I'd like to know how it did in Mexico.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't even know if they even showed it in Mexico, to be honest. Who knows? But
I mean, it's a love story, and it's kind of a little musical. I mean, there's a lot of singing in it because he's
But the Day of the Dead is a very... I mean, in I could be completely wrong, but in the Latin culture, the Latino culture, the Spanish culture, I heard it's a very dark, dark day.
Is it? Dark implications, but it's still very celebratory. Like, it is kind of that weird.
Right, but it's scary. I mean,
it's like Halloween.
Right, it's frightening.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some humor to the movie in there. It's a love story. He's a it's got Fluffy. I always call him Fluffy, but Gabriel Iglesias is in there.
Mm-hmm.
Cheech is in there.
Mm-hmm.
Channing Tatum in there too.
Channing Tatum, I think, was a voice. You know,
he's a stripper and a Spaniard. Wow.
Right.
It's got range. This guy.
Yeah. What is it? He's supposed to be a bullfighter, but wants to be a mariachi.
A mariachi player.
He wants to be a singer,
oh.
a guitar player. So, and that struggle, it's him against this bullfighter, and the bullfighter has to save the town because, I mean, it's a really good story. It works really well. The graphics, the visuals on it are really well, especially in high def.
Fantastic.
And if my 16-year-old really enjoyed it, my wife really enjoyed it, and my 3-year-old daughter really enjoyed it, I mean, that's a big span.
So that's a winner.
It's a big demographic.
People
that's
that
a
like
winner.
It. And I enjoyed it. You know, it had some funny parts. It had some, you really feel for the character by the end. It's a great story. It moves quickly.
Cool. All right, I'm going to go watch it then. Day of the Dead. All right. I've been very reserved.
The Book of Life.
Book of Life. Day of the Dead, Book of Life. Go figure. All right. Well, boys and girls. Book of Life is on video on demand right now. It's on Blu-ray as well. I guess I'm going to have to watch it if it's that good. I mean,
it's Del Toro.
It is Del Toro. I mean, this is his baby. So I guess I'll give it a shot. All right, let's get into a couple of pieces of news real quickly, and we'll get through this. First off, let's talk about a very huge thing that happened yesterday. Online was the second trailer for the Avengers: Age of Ultron. All right, now, what did we think of the Age of Ultron trailer number 2, Collector J?
I mean, it makes you excited for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
What, 4.5 months from now?
4.5 months from now.
I really hope we don't get overplayed with Ultron stuff. I mean, now it's to the point where you have teasers coming out for the trailer, within the teaser coming out for the second teaser for the next trailer. I mean, and then you have stills coming out every month, and I mean, it's just.
I'm fascinated. I have to say that I'm.
They
I'm
revealed a few
the
things.
Opposite of you, I'm fascinated with the Ultron character.
Well, the Ultron character, but I'm just saying that the inundation of stuff over and over and over.
Sure.
The trailer was awesome. The fight scene between Hulk and Hulkbuster is going to be epic.
Now we know that Tony Stark is in that suit.
Yes.
Okay.
Hulk, what's up with Hulk? You know, you see a little couple sides to him, so you're not sure what's going on.
I'll tell you my take.
Controlled by, I mean, yeah, there's a few takes or a few theories out there. Ultron, you obviously see him starting out, but then you see him upgrading, so he's going to do that. You hear it talked about how Ultron was created, so it definitely was Tony Stark bringing it to life because he feels that it needs something bigger.
Right.
Then all of them, you have a mystery woman, which I think leads
the itself. Mystery woman in the cave who takes off her robe.
I think that's just a Black Panther reference.
Could be.
I think that's some more of him was put in there, or Wakanda, anyways. Mm-hmm. And
isn't it the camp that Raymond Stantz went to, Camp Wakanda, in Ghostbusters?
I don't know.
No? I don't remember.
Was it Camp? I think it was, yeah. Where you sat by the fire and roasted Stay Puft Marshmallows? Stay
Puft Marshmallows? Wasn't it Camp Wakanda? I think it was.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm just making sure. Well done, sir. That's what I thought it was. All right, anyway. So, you're excited about the trailer?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I made some pictures and put them up on
You sure
on
did. Facebook. Yeah, you got some screenshots.
Yeah, some screenshots.
Professor Barry, what did you think of the trailer?
Oh, God. I was hoping you wouldn't even ask me. I don't want to be a contrarian here, but I'm starting to feel like a comic book movie curmudgeon. I'm just like, oh, we've seen this explosions, and they're all making the same poses and the music. And yeah, Ultron looks fascinating, but I'm starting to get a little burnt out from these movies.
All right, really fine then. I don't want to even hear from you anymore.
I'm going to sit in my corner.
I'm halfway between you and Barry because I want – and they didn't show Vision in this, which I think they need to save that
until the movie. I think they should too.
I think they need to start saving more for the movie. Not so many dang trailers.
Well, here's the thing. This brings me to my point. I think that the Avengers trailer was a very good trailer. I love the fact that the Hulk is more involved. I like seeing what's going on with the Hulk. I think we're leading into the Hulk being so angry that Tony Stark has to get him off of Earth and move him into space. And that's how we meet the Guardians of the Galaxy. That's how that's related. We do know that we're going into the Planet Hulk thing or the World War Hulk storyline from the comic books. If you don't know what that is, look it up. It's amazing comic book. So do I. I love the World War Hulk.
You can even watch the animated. They have an animated.
It's great. When Hulk comes back, when he gets tricked into going to this other planet, which this planet was the wrong planet they sent him to, he comes back and he wants to kill all the Avengers, which is awesome. But I have to say that I thought that trailer was a good trailer. There was one trailer that we did talk about, speaking of in the same Marvel Universe, that we talked about last week that no one heard was
The
Ant-Man trailer. Mm-hmm. That looks better than I thought, but I'm still leery about it.
Yep.
We do know now, which details came out, of Yellowjacket being the villain in the film, and we do know that the villain, Yellowjacket, is Hank Pym. He becomes a more weaponized Ant-Man. So it's very interesting. I'm interested to see where Ant-Man or what Ant-Man is. I mean, we had the same reservations about Guardians of the Galaxy with the Ant-Man thing, so who knows? Did you watch the Ant-Man trailer?
I never had those. I hadn't met you guys yet, but ever since I saw that poster at Maui Mall for Guardians of the Galaxy, I was like, I gotta see that movie. And I didn't even know who the Guardians were. I just knew I had to see the movie.
I'm embarrassed to admit it, but it's absolutely true, and I've said this on the show. I didn't think that movie would fly, just because I didn't know if they would totally get it.
Well, they had an airplane. Of course they could fly.
Yeah, Barry.
Yeah, come on.
No.
Come on,
so,
Barry.
So the
Ant-Man trailer. I was underwhelmed by it. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I'm hoping that they're not showing us some of the best stuff. But I was at Comic-Con when they showed the first footage of Iron Man, and they basically showed the first 5 minutes of the movie. And this was a year before it came out, and to see that opening scene of Robert Downey Jr. giving that monologue that Tony Stark gives is like, man, they've got it. It feels like they've got it. It doesn't feel that way with Rudd. And I love Paul Rudd, but I don't feel it yet. I really don't.
I agree with you on that. I'm more hopeful for Ant-Man, but I'm definitely still leery about what we are in store for sure.
Yeah.
So, all right, so the other big news, those are the two trailers that we talked about.
There's another big piece of news that just broke today.
Which was?
According to Latino Review, as of today, mm-hmm. Marvel.
Aren't they famous for posting like crap rumors?
Not always.
Well, all sites are at some point.
Yeah, but they've had some right. They've had them
right. Okay, all right.
Anyways, they're saying that Sony and Marvel worked out a deal for Spider-Man to be in
Infinity Wars.
But the thing is that they need Spider-Man in the Captain America movie.
I think they missed that already.
Infinity Wars Part 1. Anyways. So when is Infinity Wars Part 1 coming?
2017.
Rumor about a movie we're not even going to see for
two years. That is pivotal. That is pivotal.
Barry! You're a comic book guy. You should know this.
I know.
I don't think he is a comic book guy.
No, he is.
I think he's in disguise.
What happens is
he's like a bad case.
This is the kind of things that happens when you go to college and you become a writer, you know, and you forget about where you came from.
Maybe he needs to have a. Maybe I'm going to hire him to write a comic book. No. So maybe he'll fall back in love with it.
I become burnt out.
I become burnt out on a lot of these movies.
I am.
Yeah, guy writes a book and he's just comic books are above him. Whatever.
Not true. Not what I said.
I think that's what I heard.
Let's rewind those tapes, man.
I know, really, right? But seriously, all kidding aside, I think that Spider-Man being part of it, I think, is a pivotal aspect of it. I hope they work something out because Sony really screwed the pooch with Spider-Man 2. So they need to make up for it big time.
Okay, back to your news.
Back to the news. Another big piece of news is Scarlett Johansson is not just going to be playing the Black Widow. She's also going to be playing one of the most famous Japanese anime characters of all time. She's going to be playing the lead in a Ghost in the Shell movie.
Which got a release date.
Which did get a release date.
Yes.
I don't know how I feel about this. I think the Ghost in the Shell movie was a very good animated film. I am not excited about it, per se. Mm. But if you've never seen Ghost in the Shell, I think you should. It's a very, very good animated film. It is not for kids, just to let you know.
No.
Not for kids. But the story is good. I hope it works. I don't know if Scarlett Johansson is the right fit, but I could be completely wrong about this. What is your take, Professor Barry?
You know, like I was thinking about Ghost in the Shell the other day because I had the chance to see Ghost in the Shell 2: Innocence on the big screen, and it was one of the most amazing movies.
Wasn't it though?
Yeah, just beautiful.
Innocence gorgeous. Is beautiful.
The parade scene is one of the most magnificent pieces of animation I've ever seen. Thinking back to the first movie, I remember the action being awesome. The story hasn't really stayed with me, so I feel almost like we've had live action variations of Ghost in the Shell over the years. I wonder like how fresh it's going to really look. And certainly with the success of Lucy, we know that Scarlett Johansson can not only carry a movie, but of course, most pivotally in Hollywood, she can open these sort of movies. But yeah, I wonder if it is if it's going to feel fresh or if it's going to be like, you know, like this week's Ultraviolet or, you know, this week's, you know.
Right. This is the female superhero character kind of thing.
Another one, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, what do you think of the Ghost in the Shell thing?
I've never really followed Ghost in the Shell, so I can't
Have you seen
really
the movies?
Nope.
You should.
I should. Good.
Don't watch it with your kids, though.
No.
I watched Lucy the other night.
What'd you think?
Well, I saw it in the movies, too, or at the theater.
So. I haven't seen it yet. I heard it's a lot of fun.
It is. Big fan. I dug it. Yeah. So, I mean, she definitely plays... I'm not sure what the character is in Ghost in the Shell, who she's playing, how she's supposed to be portraying
it. I'm not
going to
ruin it.
But, I mean, she has a look, somewhat. That's about all I got.
Scarlett Johansson's Asian roots are astounding.
I said got the look, kind of. I didn't say she's like the perfect spitting image.
She is the fanboy Meryl Streep, let's face it. She has instant credibility in these movies no matter what it is. You know she has instant credibility because she was in Frank Miller's The Spirit and nobody wags their finger at her for being in that movie.
That is true.
She looked like she exists in the Frank Miller world.
She does. You're absolutely right. You know what's interesting? Speaking of these movies, kind of like a real quick right or left turn here. Movies like this, these big budget films, is it just me or does it seem like this year that that these kinds of movies that aren't necessarily going to be summer fare are making it to the big screen in a January, February, March kind of a release date? Like, look at The Seventh Son. You know, that looks like a really big summer blockbuster or even Christmas. Nope, it's coming out in February.
Well, I mean,
how bad is this movie? Look at
Jupiter Ascending.
Jupiter Ascending. That's coming out in February. That's a Wachowski movie. That looks huge.
Yeah.
That looks like there's a lot of money that went into that, and it actually looks fairly decent.
Yeah.
I mean, The Kingsman. I mean, are we? It's like summer's going to be all year round now. It doesn't seem like we're going to have seasons anymore. Almost.
Well, I mean, you have just in comic book movies alone. I mean, what do we have? 8 this year?
Oh yeah.
Ridiculous. I mean, it's not like you're not going to put 8 comic book movies
exactly
into the summer in 3 months. Well, there's no way. So there's no time to do summer movies.
You're absolutely right. Fighting. And that's exactly what I'm going with.
Because, and I think that's why they're doing a release date so many years out now. They're trying to save their spots.
They could be, because you're absolutely right about that. I have a feeling like Seventh Son is a film that looks big. It's had some production issues, I guess, for the last 3 years.
Years ago.
So you're looking at that film, or even The Kingsman, for crying out loud. That's a comic book movie. That one looks great. You go, February? That's weird. You know, why is it not being released at a bigger date? And it looks good. Matthew Vaughn is directing it, things of that nature. Why are these movies being released? And I think Collector J's onto something here. I think Collector J's right. I think comic book movies have saturated the market so much that there's nowhere else to put these big budget movies that aren't necessarily comic book properties but can compete with those properties. And guess what? No one wants to compete with Marvel.
Yep.
So I guess it's good for us.
The DC movies, I mean, it makes it hard. You know, if you're going to flop, it'd be better to flop based upon your movie and not because you're fighting another movie.
But it's an interesting concept because you're making people go to the movies when they wouldn't necessarily go.
Yeah, we know that this time is typically the dead time of year. We know that movies like, for example, Cloverfield, huge when they open up at a time of the year when most people aren't going to the movies, especially an event film like that.
Right.
On the other hand, you did mention 3 movies from that were supposed to come out last year that have been pushed back. I'm worried about, especially Kingsman, because it's opening up, like, regardless of what the movie is or what we think of it, it's opening the same day as 50 Shades of Grey. I feel like the studio is burying the Kingsman.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that, too.
But that's also two different demographics.
No. But here's the problem is that Professor Barry's right about one thing, is that if you're putting your own movie or your movie up against 50 Shades, it is two demographics.
Oh, but it's the same same company.
Right. So what you're doing is that you're already pitting your own movie against your own. It makes no sense. Yeah. So what are you doing to The Kingsman? Because you know there's going to be a bunch of desperate middle-aged single women that are going to be watching.
But they
50
wouldn't necessarily.
Shades.
But they're not going to go see Kingsman.
Right. But who's going to want to flock to go see The Kingsman when you've got 300 middle-aged desperate single women.
Any smart man who's single would do it.
All right, maybe.
Okay,
right.
Did you maybe think about what you're saying?
Maybe there is a method to the madness.
Think
then.
About what you're saying there. You have a captive audience. Right. Remember, that's why you always.
Captive audience, 50 Shades. That was good. Did you do that on purpose?
Well done.
That was pretty good.
Remember when you used to go to. Well, I did it. You went to home ec because all the girls went to home ec.
Sure.
In high school, right?
All right, maybe then. All
it's
right.
A good illustration.
But that's the perfect date night for a couple that doesn't get along. One goes see 50 Shades, one goes see The Kingsman.
Good point.
And you come out and you meet up at the end. Or right. You...
I'm going to go watch an action comic book movie and my other half is going to go watch porn. That's great. I mean, fantastic.
His bottom line is like 50 Shades, even if the critics savage it, which is a distinct possibility, it's going to open really, really big.
It's going to open huge.
It's not smart to open anything that same weekend.
I agree.
It was the same thing when Paramount Pictures very unwisely opened up Star Trek Nemesis same weekend as Made in Manhattan, which it didn't seem like much of a no-brainer, but I mean, Jennifer Lopez
was huge,
stupid idea releasing that movie the same weekend.
I agree. So I just wanted to bring that up as a possibility of now we're going to be seeing more movies in off months.
More event films, right. In the down season, spring season.
Yeah, spring. And we're going to see a lot more of that. I'm sure we're going to see a lot more in September and October kind of thing. You know what I mean? So I guess it's good for the audiences, I guess. You're going to bring more people out to the movies?
It's good for the movie theaters.
Oh, absolutely.
So...
Absolutely. So I agree with you there as well. All right. So is there any other big news that we want to talk about? I mean, I think that's pretty much it. We're gonna get Scarlett Johansson as a faux Asian in Ghost in the Shell. We got the Avengers trailer, Age of Ultron.
Hey, makeup
2.
Can do wonders.
I guess it can. So it's so far. Look. Next week we'll talk about it along with American Sniper. But we got Taken 3 in January.
He said he might do a number 4.
Don't do it, Liam. Take the money and walk.
I think he's actually having fun with that character.
Oh, he loves it.
He's doing spoofs where he's calling ex-girlfriends or ex-boyfriends as his character. I mean, he does some pretty funny stuff with his character.
I think he's found a niche that he never thought he'd ever be in, and I think he's taking full advantage of it. So,
it's kind of like Leslie Nielsen. Like, late in his career, like he's had this very unlikely side career.
This is crazy. That he'll be defined and for. That comparison is kind of apt just because this is Liam Neeson's Naked Gun trilogy. You know, it's kind of interesting. That's kind of fun that
it's
you bring it
up. It's very different from what he's known as.
Yeah, very different.
Because Nielsen was actually a dramatic actor. He's probably arguably best known for what?
Forbidden Planet
and the Poseidon Adventure.
I mean, he did the remake of, what's the musical with Hugh Jackman?
Les Miserables?
Les Mis. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can act.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I think he has fun being these characters, Liam does. So, I mean, I like the Taken shows. I hope Taken 3 is good. With the look on Professor Barry's face, he's telling me no.
Don't do it, man. Don't go. Save your money.
We'll talk about that next week. But yeah, I think that's basic. That's pretty much it.
Didn't we also want to talk about the Razzies? Or?
Oh, yes! Really quick. Let's just go over the Razzies. Quick. If you don't know what the Razzies are the awards for the worst movies of the year. Okay? Worst actors and actresses of the year. And this is for you guys, just to let you know what this is all about. On this list, we'll just go with a couple of things. Yeah. The worst pictures of the year are Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas. I have to see that. Left Behind with Nicolas Cage.
Worthy contender.
All right. The Legend of Hercules.
Yes.
That was the Kellan Lutz. Was it Kellan
Lutz?
Yeah,
the Rennie Harlan.
Yeah, the Rennie Harlan one. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, one of the worst pictures of the year.
Yep.
And Transformers 4 Age of Extinction. On that list as well. Those are the top five worst movies of the year, according to the Razzies. Is that a good list?
I'd say so. Tammy should be on that list, and so should Annie. But that's good. It's a good list.
As a middle-aged man, because the only two that I've seen on there are the the Turtles and Transformers. Transformers, I agree wholeheartedly with. I think it depends on your demographic. My kids love both those movies.
Mm-hmm.
They watched the Turtles a few times. My wife even enjoyed it. It had some funny parts. So I don't know. You always gotta take these lists with a grain of salt.
You definitely do. But I love the Razzies because
calls some people out.
It just calls people out. And the fact is that when someone like Sandra Bullock shows up and accepts your award, it's very cool because they understand that there are good and bad performances,
and I think
that's great. And Sandra Bullock did a good job a few years ago taking that.
Yeah, and Halle Berry accepted for Catwoman. I think Paul Verhoeven for Showgirls.
Fantastic. Yeah. Love it. On this list as well, worst actors of the year go to Nicolas Cage for Left Behind. Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas. Kellan Lutz for The Legend of Hercules. Seth MacFarlane for A Million Ways to Die in the West. Yeah. I could not agree more. He was horrible in that movie. And Adam Sandler, which I think he is unfairly put on that list for Blended.
They're just trying to punish him because of the grown-up movies. He's been a repeat offender for the Razzies. He shouldn't be on the list.
Right.
It's one of his better.
He's like the token guy that always has to be there. Because
they always pick on Stallone. There's always a few guys they always put on the list. Yeah.
On the worst actress list, we got Drew Barrymore for Blended. Unfair.
That's stupid. No.
She
no
was
place.
Very good in that movie.
She was actually.
Cameron Diaz for The Other Woman and Sex Tape. Worst actress, Melissa McCarthy for Tammy.
Yes.
Charlize Theron for Million Ways to Die in the West. She wasn't as terrible as Seth was.
No.
And last but not least, Gaia Weiss, The Legend of Hercules.
No, I think Melissa McCarthy's got this category.
I hope she does as well. And there's a new category this year on the Razzies called the Razzie Redeemer Award. It goes to Ben Affleck. He was a Razzie winner for Geely, to Oscar Darling for Argo and Gone Girl. Jennifer Aniston for Cake, which I heard is a very good movie.
First, she's very good in it.
I heard she's good in it. That's what I should have said. Mike Myers from Razzie winner for Love Guru to docu-director for Supermensch. And Keanu Reeves, six-time Razzie nominee to critically acclaimed John Wick. You darn right. John Wick is an amazing film.
Redemption by the way,
I'll be talking about that in the next segment because that's hit.
That's actually
sweet.
It's funny. Keanu Reeves is actually where my son's middle name comes from. Really? I really like the name Keanu.
You named your son.
Not after
Well, yeah,
I named
Keanu. Yeah,
it's like, because it was when.
It's okay to say that. That's fine.
I really like the Matrix movies. His, mm-hmm. his middle name is Keanu Okekainalu, which means breath, cold of the ocean front or something like that. Mm-hmm. He was born in Minnesota.
It almost sounds
but
like Keanu.
Keanu is, because you can go by middle name in Hawaii. Yeah.
Is that German?
What? Keanu?
No, his middle name?
No, it's Hawaiian.
Yeah, I know. I'm just messing with you.
I guess I must have been razzing on it too hard. I was like, what?
I was razzing
I was like,
you.
Are you that dumb? That's what was going through my mind. I was like, what, really?
He has good poker face. He does.
I know.
Anyways, then my next son is actually named after another actor.
Crazy.
Yeah, so if Keanu Reeves and Benedict Cumberbatch happen to meet you, you really have
a story.
I got a story. Yeah, that's cool.
Well, listen,
I think they should call me.
You can check the whole list because there's a lot more categories. You can check the full list at comingsoon.net. They have the whole category of list of Razzies. They've got stuff like worst remake or ripoff. Annie's on there. Worst screenplay, worst screen combo is on there. Fun categories, you know. Yeah. So that's very, very cool. Worst director is on there.
Michael Bay
is always on that list. Always on that list.
He should stay on there for the rest of his life.
So I guess he should. So anyway, yeah, check those out. The Razzies are a lot of fun. And then in the next couple of, I think the next couple of weeks, we should be hearing about the best from the Oscars, should we not?
This Thursday, the Oscar nominations come out.
Yeah. We were going to talk about the Golden Globes. You can check out the list for the Golden Globe winners and losers. Two of the big winners were, of course, Amy Adams and Big Eyes, mm-hmm. Kevin Spacey for House of Cards,
which season 3 comes out next month.
Yeah, he was a big winner. George Clooney also got the Humanitarian Award, the Cecil B. DeMille Humanitarian Award. At the Golden Globes. I'm not much of a Golden Globes guy because I think there's a lot of films that are overlooked by the foreign press.
Sure.
Just because I think it has to do a lot with political issues, political views, and I think they miss out on a lot of stuff. Check that out, the Golden Globes. That's you can actually – I think that's still on NBC.com. You can mm-hmm. check out that list as well.
Yep.
Actually, just go to our go to our Facebook page. What am I doing?
Why are you promoting everyone else?
Everybody
us?
Else. Go to Nerdwatch
go
on
to
the
Nerd
Facebook
Watch.
Page.
I think you're speaking.
All those lists
stay
are there.
At the Nerdwatch.
I think you're speaking German.
I think I am. So just stay on the Nerdwatch. All the lists are there. We don't want to go through them all, but they're all there. The best and the worst from the Golden Globes and the Razzies. So, one of the last things, Blu-ray releases for the week. Nothing too major coming out this week. We got Gone Girl on Blu-ray and DVD. We got A Walk Among the Tombstones, which I'm still interested to see, even though you said it wasn't
it's
great.
It's a mixed one for me, but
yeah.
It's not bad.
If you can believe it, speaking of Keanu, we were just talking about him. River's Edge comes out on Blu-ray.
Good film. Tough movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Crispin Glover, Dennis Hopper. Yeah. Good movie. It's back in 86, 85?
Yeah, 87, I think, actually.
87?
Yeah.
Great film. And there's another film that...
a fourth Scorpion King?
That's exactly what I was going to say. There's a fourth Scorpion King movie starring Lou Ferrigno. I would avoid
starring
that.
Starring the Hulk?
I would avoid that like the plague, I'm guessing.
I think if you turn your gamma up to all green.
I guess so.
It's like watching the Hulk again.
The first Scorpion King was good enough for me. I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. Another great Blu-ray movie came out is Capricorn 1. Starring, I shouldn't say it's a great movie because it's not great, but it's still compelling. It's a conspiracy theorist movie, perfect for its time in the 70s.
Yeah.
About it stars the one and only Sam Shepard. Not Sam Shepard, but
James Brolin, Elliot Gould, O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson is in it.
Yeah.
But not Sam Shepard. Or is that Sam Shepard? It is Sam Shepard. It's Sam Shepard.
It's been a while.
So, Capricorn 1 about whether or not
The moon landing was faked. Yeah.
Very interesting. We get a lot of those movies in the 70s, like The Parallax View, The Marathon Man. Those went along with the political conspiracy theorist thrillers. Marathon Man and Parallax View are two of my favorites. So that came out on Blu-ray, surprisingly. I never thought that would show up ever. And finally for me, a big movie came out on video on demand this week. Should be hitting Blu-ray and DVD on the 23rd. February 3rd, John Wick. is out on video on demand. I ended up purchasing that bad boy. That was one of my favorite movies of last year as well. I love John Wick. I think it's very good. It's the resurrection of Keanu Reeves' career. He did a good job. He got good material, good story. It was he was great part for him. It was a simple story, and he knocked it out the park, I thought. So that's out on video on demand. So you should definitely check that out. You know what I watched, by the way? When I said I watched those two movies, I ended up watching Deliverance again.
Wow, that's a great, great movie.
Yeah.
Tough, but great.
You know what's funny is that when I was younger, I didn't like it because I thought it was going to be this action-packed backwoods kind of adventure.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Yeah.
But now you watch it, and it's quite interesting. They could have went for the whole cheap action thriller kind of thing, but they didn't. They went with something very real.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very ballsy for them to do, and they were very very cool. So if you have never seen Deliverance before, not for every taste for sure, but Deliverance with Burt Reynolds, Ned Beatty, John Voight, and Ronnie Cox is quite a film.
It's very powerful.
Quite a film, and it'll stay with you long after it's over. So yeah, check that. I just thought I'd bring that up.
Yeah. Can I mention one really quick?
Absolutely.
I wanted to mention Supernova because this is how I knew you and
Oh, yes.
Supernova's coming out. And I want to mention this because this is how I knew you and I were kindred spirits. One of the first conversations you and I had a long time ago, I told you, it was a little after that, but I told you I was teaching a class on Coppola for my college students.
Yes.
And you said, one of the first things you said, are you going to show Supernova? I'm like, whoa, you knew that reference. That's so vague. Few people even know that. Coppola was one of the many people who tried to edit that film.
He did.
That film is long, long delayed, released, I think, 3 or 4 years after it was made.
James Spader, Angela Bassett.
Robin Tunney.
It is it's a mess of a movie.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it just because I like the lineage of what they were trying to do with it and what the vision of those that tried to make it was. Because Walter Hill was
the original director.
He was the original director.
It's really
on
a Walter Hill film.
It's a Walter Hill film, and that's what draws me to it because Walter Hill movies are something that
terrific,
I absolutely love. I love Walter Hill films because they're very lean and they're very mean and they're straight to the point, and that's what he does best.
Yeah.
So Supernova was that odd, really odd conundrum of like, what the heck is going on with this? I think people should watch it. It's on Blu-ray, by the way. It just came out today. Supernova is on Blu-ray. If you've never seen it before, and if you're a movie aficionado, you should see it. Let's just say, to break it down easily, it's James Spader and Angela Bassett in space. Just for now. We'll just leave it at that. I think that's the best way to put it. For now, right? Is there any point in me going into the story at all?
No. The only thing about the movie I always love to say is that in the original budget for the movie, which was more substantial, they had this robot in the ship that helps people out. When it came down to the budget MGM was going to give Walter Hill, you see what it is in the movie, it's a mime in a suit. It's awful. It's a guy in black Hispanic. It's like one of the Blue Man Group. It's so bad.
It is so awful, but yet it is something that needs to be seen.
It's fun. It is.
And absolutely. That's your Blu-ray and DVD releases for the week. Not, like I said, it's going to be lean for the next couple of months. March is when we start to see more pickup of releases. Even in games, by the way, we've got release dates for you as well. But first, switching gears here. Now that holidays are over, Collector J, how's everything on the video gaming front with you? Are you still doing a little Destiny here and there? Are you crucibling or what
I'm
are you
still
doing?
On Destiny.
What is everybody is after Christmas? Everybody's
well, right now
it.
I'm doing the Iron Banner.
Iron Banner,
which
okay.
I do really well at. And now that I got my weapon upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been killing it in Crucible, so I keep going back. I'd really like to be able
to do... Good pun, by the way. Good pun. You've been killing it. Good job.
I'm just pulling one today.
Man!
My eyes are brown. But I really need to get... I need you on there. I need some people. I think I'm going to start a Reddit.
Because
I have two...
There are so many people that play Destiny that are on Reddit. It's crazy.
Well, that's how you meet up.
That's
you,
how, right.
You do a little thread. And so I figured that out yesterday, so I'll start doing that. But I have two missions or whatever... That give me exotic gear for completing them.
Yes.
But one has to do...
You have an exotic bounty.
I have two exotic bounties.
Two exotic bounties. What do you
have?
One
is I have to do a heroic strike or a heroic...
You're going to get the super good advice. I already know that one.
And then...
it's for a machine gun.
The other one is for a handgun where you have to get 500...
That's the thorn.
The thorn.
Mm-hmm.
And That's one of the best handguns in the game. I have. It's really hard because I have my.
It's irritating. So what you're asking me to do is boost. You want to boost with me so we can get it together. It means that we sit in a room with six people and we just kill each other back and forth to get those kills because those kills aren't easy. So what you have to do,
And every time you die, it goes down.
Right. So there, you get 5 points for making a kill, and then you lose 2 points for dying.
Yep.
So
I've gotten it up to 20.
It's not easy.
Out of 500.
I'm telling you, it ain't easy, man. it's a pain in the butt.
But the only two weapons I have that shoot. With void damage is a sniper rifle.
Right.
That's a pre-Dark Below sniper rifle. I just got an upgraded one finally. And my rocket launcher.
Void damage.
That's it. That's the only two things. And it's hard to get. I mean, rocket launchers.
Thank God I have an Atheon's Epilogue, which does void damage as a main weapon.
Are there many main weapons that do void damage?
No, you have to run the raid, the original raid from
I haven't been able to do that.
You haven't done that yet?
No.
Holy crap!
The 10 people that I started playing with that wanted to do this whole clan thing, they all disappeared. Mm-hmm. They're going...
Again with the clan.
Right, here we go with the clan.
Openly proclaiming your love for your clan.
My clan dispersed. So I have no one to play with again.
Oh, man.
So I'm going to start the whole Reddit thing.
Good, you should.
See if I can get some heroic stuff
if I can get a cheap copy again, I will pick one up and you and I will play together. I'm already got a level 20 guy, so we'll run some missions and things like that. For me, right now, it seems like that's the game everybody's playing. I mean, because it's been the holidays, I haven't had time to play much anything at all. I mean, the first DLC for Call of Duty is coming out at the end of this month, which looks good.
Arrow is coming out. Is coming to Gotham. Mm-hmm. Lego Gotham.
So yeah, there's a ton of. I think Destiny seems to be the game of the year.
That's all that's out.
Far Cry 4 is great, which I love. It's one of my favorite games, but I never played. I've hardly played anything this season, by the way. So. I don't know.
They got something right. It's addicting enough.
To be
annoying.
It is. It's addicting enough.
And the game's annoying enough.
That is the best description I've heard. It's addicting enough to be annoying. I have to agree with that statement. That makes perfect sense.
Hashtag.
You should definitely hashtag that. That is amazing. As far as other games that have been released, there isn't much. There's nothing much out there. The next big game to be released that people are going to be looking at is Evolve. The game by the creators of Left 4 Dead.
The open beta for Xbox One is on the 15th.
It's already on the 15th. So it's a big deal. That's the next big game for us. February we're gonna be seeing SpongeBob Hero Pants. Right, we're gonna see The Order 1886, the long-awaited PS4 game that was supposed to be a launch title is finally coming out in February. We're gonna be seeing the PS. That's a PS4 exclusive. We're gonna be seeing a PS4 Resident exclusive Evil. For the film. Not the film, but the video game that is actually directed by the same guys who did Dark Souls. The name escapes me at this point.
I'm just waiting for the Batman Arkham Knight in June.
Right. I can't remember the name of it. Oh, God. It's not Spellbound. It's something else. Doggone it. It totally escapes me. I don't even see it on that stinking list. But, yeah. Anyway. Lots of games will be coming out in the next couple
Mortal
of months.
Mortal Kombat X.
Mortal Kombat
April.
10. That's going to be coming. Or X or whatever the heck it is. So there's a ton of stuff coming out that we're looking forward to. Nothing yet. So we'll talk more Destiny. Call of Duty, we'll talk about more of that. We got more DLC for Far Cry 4. You know what we didn't talk about, by the way, before we take off out of here? I want everybody to know something. We skipped a segment of the show. Sorry to bring it up right at the end, but doggone it, the shows are slowly coming back to air on television. One of the biggest shows to premiere was Marvel's Agent Carter. That is the spinoff of the Captain America movies. I have to tell you guys, if you are a fan of the Marvel Universe, or if you're a fan of just fun
Dick Tracy
adventure type shows. Agent Carter is a lot of fun. So Marvel's Agent Carter should be seen. If you've never seen it, you should take a look at it. It's a very fun show. It feels very Dick Tracy. It feels very comic strip, which is very
fast.
Cool. Very
fast
movie.
Very action packed.
It is.
Some really good fight scenes. I like, because it's at a
time period.
Time period before what we're going through now. Mm-hmm. they're able to bring in some storylines they're only alluded to. I mean, you see Howard Stark in front of the committee.
Right.
And it's like a direct mirror of
his son. Is yes.
In front of when they're trying to take his armor.
Yes.
You then have Venko in the lab. Is it Venko is the last name? From
yes.
The guy who from Iron Man 2.
Yes, yes.
It was his dad that stole or that supposedly Howard stole the stuff from.
Stuff from, right.
So he's in the movie. So
the show.
Or the show. Yeah. Amazing Carter. So they get to bring in some stuff that was alluded to, some storylines to, you know, kind of tie into.
I have to tell you that I really like the, I really like the fact that you can get a story and just, and play it out over time, which is really nice. I like that. Nothing is rushed. Agent Carter is a, I never thought would be a compelling character enough, but she is. Yeah. She's Hayley Atwell, does a very good job in that show. The period, the time period, and the sets are a fantastic.
They do a good job on
they
that.
Do a great job. I hope enough people watch, and I hope that they put a lot, I hope that they put a lot of love into this show, a lot more love into the show, even if the ratings aren't that great, because I think it's worth that
much.
Well,
I mean, even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't have the best ratings.
That's true.
And they're going, what, on season... Two,
two, right?
Right, they're yeah. coming back soon. Yeah, so, true. And then they just renewed Daredevil, or not yeah. Daredevil. Daredevil's coming out.
Daredevil's coming out in April, right?
April. They just renewed Arrow and The Flash mm-hmm. for more seasons.
More seasons, yeah.
So I don't think with, you know, DC was doing a better job yeah. on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Arrow, Flash, and now they're going to have Supergirl. I don't think Marvel's going to give up something they start on TV,
mm-hmm.
if it doesn't do good ratings the first time around.
Right.
They got to compete on the TV side.
Well, you know what's funny is that the one thing I forgot to bring up, DC does great television. Marvel is doing good starting to do good television,
starting
which
to,
is
yep.
great. DC also does something else very well, which I think everybody
animated.
Should see, animated. The new Justice League movie came out
yep.
on DVD and Blu-ray as well.
That.
I forgot to mention that. Justice League...
Throne of Atlantis.
Yep.
I
can't wait to see it. I have it at home. I'm very excited to see it. It's a fun animated film.
Speaking of animated and DC, we spoke about it last week, which no one heard.
Mm.
I got the Invisible Jet in
Lego. Oh, you know, I saw it on the Facebook page.
Yep, I got the Invisible Jet.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's invisible.
Where, can you see it?
No, you can't.
All right, you can't see it. Fantastic. Adding to the collection that is the Nerd Watch at the Nerd Watch headquarters. Wow, it is invisible.
Beautiful.
I mean, really, that's the only way you could do an invisible jet.
Yeah, that is very true.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. There's no place to use a bathroom on that thing, though.
Yeah.
They're superheroes.
Oh, superheroes don't use the bathroom. Apparently.
You just pop the top and pee out the
Where's Wonder Woman?
Yeah. Is she invisible, too?
Oh,
she's Yeah, I started getting cases for all my stuff.
Oh, very cool. Smart man. The Lego collection keeps growing and growing here at Nerdwatch headquarters.
Pizza Genie.
Yeah, you're still doing that loot, the brick loot stuff, too.
I stopped it, but... I might join again because of that. But
look at you.
Anyways.
All right. Well, boys, I tell you what, boys and girls, it's been a packed show. Movies, games, television, news. I think it's time for us to get out of here and enjoy. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. I'm going to be enjoying cutting and putting this stuff up so you guys can listen to it. What I want you guys to do is definitely support us. New stuff is coming up this year for the Nerd Watch. We're going to be doing some. Hopefully, we'll be doing some more stuff on YouTube. We're going to be experimenting.
There's going to be tentatively another comic book get together.
Cool.
At the end of the month. So
Nerd Watch headquarters get together.
Yeah, once I get the, for sure, for the people who came last time,
mm-hmm.
I'll put together a flyer so the Nerd Watch, because there was some response
Good.
On our Facebook page of
Good.
People who would be interested in coming. So.
Good. You know what we could do? We should maybe, when we do it next time, or sometime we should do a podcast straight from the
Live.
Comic swap.
That's a great idea.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Maybe we can try that. Stay tuned for details on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. Professor Barry's latest reviews are up for Taken and The Woman in Black 2 on the NerdWatch Facebook page, which directly links to our partner, MauiWatch.com. You can read a lot more of Professor Barry's reviews on RottenTomatoes.com as well. He's up there. He adds to the tomato meter, folks. That's a big deal, man. He adds to the tomato meter. So that's very, very cool for us and him, for sure. You can follow us on Twitter at the Nerdwatch Nation or at Nerdwatch Nation. You can also listen to us on our Maui Watch app. You can download it through Google Play and to the iTunes Store. It is the Maui Watch app. Just Google, or not Google, but just put in your search engine Maui Watch app, and you'll find it. It's on Apple and on Google Play right there. Download it to your smartphone, and you can listen to us on the go. It's that simple, boys and girls. So, yeah, other than that, I think we are out of time. Next week, we're going to be talking, we'll probably talk Taken. We're definitely talking American Sniper. We'll talk about coming up this week is Flash and Arrow and such, and we'll talk about that as well. Isn't it? Isn't Flash on Tuesday? Yeah.
Next Tuesday, yes.
Yeah. And there's definitely going to be more... definitely going to be more news as far as movies. I'm sure that we're going to be seeing another leaked trailer for some comic book movie next week. I'm sure it's out there.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, because Hydra is active.
Hydra is totally active. Yeah. So, and ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to go...
Korea, whoever you believe it.
Nerds, if you're a movie nerd, you should definitely go out and see a couple of films like Selma, Avoid Annie, like The Plague... for sure. But there are some decent movies out there to see, and American Sniper comes out on Friday. So I cannot wait to see American Sniper. All right, folks, we're out of time. You guys can, of course, listen to us all the time. All of our backlog of podcasts are up on our Maui Watch app as well. So if you miss one, we're there as well. You can listen to all of our stuff. And by the way, not only are we doing some YouTube stuff, we got some possible events coming up. The Nerd Watch is going to be getting bigger and better. It's a slow process because there's only three of us. We're trying to do what we can here. But we're going to make Nerd Watch a big part of the Hawaii scene, and maybe nationally, for crying out loud. We'd love to do that as well. And this is all... due to not just us, but of course our partner in crime, Maui Watch, as well. And you can check them out at MauiWatch.com. What were you going to say, Collector J?
Don't remember. Partner reporting crime, not partner in crime.
Okay, partner in reporting crime. Very good. Very good. We're like the watchdogs. We are kind of like the Avengers.
Mm. No, we're more like...
Or the Watchmen.
No, we're more like the Oracle.
Well, yeah, you're right. Yeah. We're more the Watchmen. We call the Avengers. You're right. We call them.
I'd be Rorschach.
Yeah, you can be Rorschach.
I'll be Owl.
Yeah.
Call
Owl. I definitely want to be Spectre.
Spectre would be a good one.
Yeah.
I like Rorschach.
I don't know if I can get in a tight skin suit though.
Or the blue guy. What was his name again?
Yeah. Dr. Manhattan.
Dr. Manhattan. I'd love to be him.
I think if you're a dude and you've seen that film, I think anyway. we're out of time, boys and girls. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. We'll see you back here next time. This is, by the way, going to be episode 22. This is a nerdy new year yet again. So until next time, next week, same time, same channel. Peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. For Collector J and Professor Barry, I am G Money. We are out of here, and in the words of the lovely island of Maui, aloha.